For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
There he is, Mark Grody. Bears.
That's what he does. He covers the Bears. Groats, before we get into the word salad, I was curious, watching that game, how did you feel?
Well, I think I felt similarly to last week or to a lot of Bears games, just watching the defense come out there and look really good early, and then watch the offense go out there. Caleb makes a couple of nice plays. They get the ball down to the 39 of Arizona, and then they're slowly pushed back to the penalty, then a bad sack taken by Caleb Williams. They get the ball at the 50, and then they're punting, and then they're off to the races. So there was something just horribly similar about the start, in particular to the offense, which I did not like, obviously. And then, in general, Lawrence, I mean, this was just a terrible response to everything that went down last week. It was a bad loss last week. No other way to spin it for even the Bears players. A stunning loss. And there were some specific things that came out of the game that it appeared that they were voicing and subsequently working on and trying to shake it off. And we all knew. I mean, we all knew. The bottom line was, when we really started talking about the game this week, it was Bears really need to win this game or not look bad losing. Not have it the bottom fall out like it did last week. And that's exactly what happened. The bottom falls out. The run defense was horrendous, allowing 213 yards. The DeMarcado run was just, again, that's like, you got to be kidding me. Seriously? That happened after what happened at the end of the game last week? This loss was worse than the previous weeks. It really was, and just in so many different ways. So this is exactly what the Bears did not need.
Yeah, it looks like a team in chaos, something very, very broken. Looks like a locker room lost. Let's continue the conversation through the voices of those involved that you heard from today, Mark Grody. Take us through it.
Yeah, let's start with the head coach, Matt Eberflus. And again, I know that you guys have been playing some of the comments from last night. This is just for full context for people that are listening. This was this morning, late morning, right around 11 o'clock, that we talked to Matt Eberflus and a couple of the players from whom you will hear as well. So this is day two after they have watched the film and all of that and had 24 hours to think about the game. Matt Eberflus asked right off the bat, are you going to change your offensive play caller?
No. And we're looking to find answers. And that's where we're at as a group, offense and defense. And we'll go through that process here today, tomorrow, and then implement that plan on Wednesday.
How do you determine whether to stay the course, as you've mentioned a lot in the last few years, or to make some changes to get different results?
Yeah, the changes we're going to make is we're going to look inward and making sure that we do a good job of utilizing our talents and our skill and really just general basic execution of our plan. And we have to make sure we're doing that going forward. And we'll put that plan into place here in the next 48 hours.
He feels barely worth listening to, frankly. It's amazing. DJ Moore this morning with Mully and Hawes said that they need to all be put in different positions. And guys, I couldn't help thinking about when DJ was running a lot of bubbles earlier in the year, and he's like, I guess I'm just the decoy. So you got DJ's thoughts on that. But Keenan Allen, too, it's like nobody's happy with this offense, but Flew says, let's just keep it. Let's just go ahead and look inward.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure I'd like to think that there's more going on behind the scenes that we know of when he says all of that. I mean, that's Matt Eberflus trying to keep it all secretive, but they have to. Something. I mean, I don't know if something drastic is going to change. I don't know. Really going to pull play calling from Shane Waldron. I don't know if that's the move yet, but something has to change, and I guarantee you that those same captains will be speaking up again when if they already haven't, they'll be speaking up on Wednesday, and something has got to change in terms of philosophically for the Bears.
It also just looks so awful for Flus that you've made these hires over the last, and your current OC is embattled while your former OC has already been fired from the next job that he got. That doesn't reflect well on you.
No, not at all. And I don't know how much Matt Eberflus personally vetted these guys, if he took the advice from people smarter than him when it comes to offense.
Yes, Trace Armstrong was the advice that he got.
Maybe it was. And I would say good for Flus to know what you don't know, but I guess we now have to drill deeper on the things that he does not know in terms of offense and getting the right guy. I mean, this is a pattern that we've seen with so many Bears head coaches, not able to, for whatever reason, to hire the correct assistants. And some of it is, guys, it's systematic. I mean, it's part of the franchise because you hire these first-time coaches. This is what the Bears do. The only non-first-time head coach that they have hired since Mike Ditka is John Fox. So then you're given these first-time head coaches that I would think in spirit probably the autonomy to select the offensive coordinators. But this drills way deeper than just the head coach, because you put a guy that's that inexperienced in that position, who does he know? I mean, who is he going to get? He's probably going to be pretty good at hiring defensive assistants, but what does he actually know about the offensive networking in this league?
Flus have a chance to double back his thoughts on Caleb Williams being in the game late when he talked today?
Yes, so here is today's question and answer with Matt Eberflus on Caleb being in the game late. And specifically, the question was prefaced with the fact that at that point, you are without both of your starting tackles, Darnell Wright and Braxton Jones, who didn't play at all. Neither of those guys are in the game. Here is the Flus.
You know, it's the starters are left in the game because we're going to fight to the end. And those guys did a nice job with that on defense. Offense, you know, we're working operation, like I said. And again, it's got to come down to that and, where that is in terms of that. So I think it's important that we just have that mentality going forward.
Was Ryan Poles on board with that, with Caleb being in there at the end of the game, per your conversation, your usual conversations with him after the game? Was he all good with that?
Yeah, I'm not going to get into private conversations with Ryan in terms of exactly what was said or not said. We're always on board for getting better, and we're always on board for competing to the very end. I will tell you that.
Okay.
He tells me that that Paul's probably wasn't down with it. How could he be down with his quarterback? Then I'd question Poles too, but I'd like to think that Ryan Poles is like, hey, let's not do that again.
As Spieg said in our pre-show meeting, the endangerment of the franchise by doing this is just okay.
Yeah, well, he's trying to represent strong.
He does. I will say this: Caleb Williams is struggling right now. There's no doubt about it, and so there has to be some blame laid on Caleb Williams for the offense not working. I know it's very easy for us, and we're doing it, and I'm going to do it. We're going to question the play calling. We're certainly going to question the offensive line, but some of it is on Caleb Williams. So I did ask Matt Eberflus. I actually thought that of all the answers, I thought this was pretty decent in terms of some of the info that he gave out. Matt Eberflus, I asked him, why is Caleb Williams struggling?
Yeah, so offensively, it just as a whole group, we have to make sure that we don't take negatives to put us behind the sticks. And that could be by, you know, penalty, or could be by sack, or could be by TFL, you know, because the percentage of you scoring there across the league, it diminishes, right? So those things have to get taken care of first. And that's a whole team thing in terms of offensive team. So that's number one. And then obviously getting productive plays. You know, those could be, you know, a pass play like you saw the first play of the game. That was a productive play to DJ, or, you know, just productive plays in general. We got to make sure that we're committed to the run and stay committed to the run. So we make sure we establish that so we can utilize the whole gamut of our offense, you know, that comes off of that run game. You know, the play actions, like I said, the play action screens, you know, the movement passes, all those things come off of that. And it's important that we do that. And then we start to incorporate different parts of our offense, the tempo side of it, the no huddle, all those things that we do, and which generate big plays as well.
This guy's a dead man walking. Every time I hear him, I'm getting madder. And I think I just realized why, Lawrence. It makes me think less of Ryan Poles. And I've been a really good place. I've been in a really good place with Ryan Poles. Like,
how could Ryan Poles hire this guy?
Well, how do you stay with this guy? And right now, when you see what is so clearly and obviously broken between coach and players, and you hear him just go through this Rolodex of gobbledygook coach speak, like in a moment like this, he's just not real, Grody.
But speaks, he does. Like, I thought some. I understand where you're coming from. I'm not arguing against Matt Eberflus in general, but in that, like, Caleb Williams has taken some bad sacks this year, and that is part of what he is referencing in there. And I understand, like, right now, Flus doesn't have much credibility, so when you hear his words, you're like, oh, yeah, right. But he's right about that. I mean, Matt, the sack he takes on 3rd and 13 to go back to the 50-yard line,
that's
bad sack by Caleb Williams.
We can talk about Caleb and what Caleb's doing wrong and what's happening as much as you want, and you're totally right. And you're doing your job. You're bringing us Flus. I'm just telling you what's happening inside of me as I hear that man speak, and it's not a good, healthy thing that's happening inside of me. And we got to listen to him for another 9 weeks. I think it's ridiculous that he's still the coach. I think any football exec worth his salt would have made his move by now, frankly.
We got to up your meds, man. I think that's what's going on here.
Thanks, buddy.
We need to give you a better feeling.
Change the dosage. Yeah. Change the dosage.
I hear you speak. I do.
Groats, what about the locker room? What are those guys saying now?
Yeah, so the guys that we could speak to today were Kevin Byard and Roma Dunze, and we'll start because I think it's a tough spot. Like we're gonna hear, I've got three cuts from Roma Dunze, but I think it's a tough spot to put a rookie in right now,
especially when you have a really great game if you're Rome.
Yeah. I mean, he did have one that went through his fingers that I thought he should have caught, but you're right. Roma Dunze had a 100-yard game, so let us not dwell on any negatives as it pertains to his game. So we'll hear from Rome in just a second, but first, Kevin Byard on Caleb Williams saying the team was slow to get over last week's loss.
Not me personally. I had moved on from it after Wednesday, or, you know, after the Monday and Tuesday media cycle and all that stuff. I had moved on from it. I was completely focused on this upcoming week and trying to go out there and win a ball game. You know, last week was last week, and this week was this week. We just got our butts whooped, you know what I mean? So I just think that when you lose in that type of fashion, things are immediately pointed back to last week and the things that happened. But, you know, when you watch the film, I don't see anything from last week that affected this game. We just lost. We didn't play well enough on either phase of the game, and the Cardinals did. So you got to give them credit. You can't sit here and be like, oh, well, it's because of this excuse or that excuse. No, we just lost the game. And I don't want to point to anything that happened last week because, like I said, I don't think it had any effect on this game.
You think there's any sort of rift, Groats, between players who talked and players who are saying, like Caleb did, that they should not have talked? Think there's any sort of rift there?
Yeah, I don't... I think there might be. I'm not discounting the possibility, but I think that this team, because they have done it seemingly such a good job of voicing their opinions outwardly, I would imagine that behind in the locker room and we're not there, those conversations get even more real. So I think what I'm trying to say is that if there is a rift, they will take care of it. You know what I mean? There won't be one of these things where guys aren't talking to each other, guys are, you know, getting to their own groups in the locker room. And look, I said, I didn't see any of that last week. Obviously, I have not been in the locker room yet this week, but I don't think so, Spiegs, but everything is so fragile right now that I can't rule that possibility out.
It's also like a difference in leadership style that you could have people on opposite sides of it being like, yes, it should be in-house, and that's the only way that things should be handled. And you might have other people saying, no, we need to as long as we're saying what we're saying publicly, privately, then it's a healthier environment to do it this way. Like, there could be a legitimate schism on what is the best way to lead inside of that locker room right now. And who knows? Who knows if it even matters? But I think that it's interesting how a lot of people can view leadership in different ways.
Yeah, and these are, to steal Caleb Williams' phrase, these are real men conversations going on. And when you talk about guys like DJ Moore and Cole Kmet, and you know, I know Keenan Allen is not one of the official captains, but I know he's got a voice in that locker room, and I know the respect that he has. So when you have these alphas in there, there's going to be different opinions on how you get things corrected in that locker room, and I just hope that it stays in a good manner, which it seems like it has. I will say, like, when you listen to Byard right there, he starts off sort of polite, then he crescendos yep. into this, we got our butts kicked, you know, let's not get it twisted here, we got our butts kicked, and it has nothing to do with what happened last week. And if it, and you know, essentially reading into it, if it does have something to do with that, then shame on us.
I thought they were going to play hard kind of for each other. And maybe they did for a little while yesterday, but there were so many damn injuries, too, that they started to realize they didn't have a shot, and then, obviously, the wheels came off. But we're always up for more Kevin Byard. I can listen to him.
Yeah, I got a couple more from Byard, including on the coaches.
Do you guys feel like you are being put in the right positions to succeed on the field right now?
I mean, regardless of, you know, of those things, I think that whatever is being called on the field as players, we have to go out there and execute, right? There's never going to be a perfect call. So at the end of the day, you know, whatever's called out there, it has to be executed by the players. And, you know, when plays work and things like that, and players execute certain calls, coaches look like geniuses, you know what I mean? And then when they don't work, then everybody's questioning, you know, what should have been called and things like that. So I just think, just as a defense, and especially speaking on just yesterday, we obviously just didn't play well, and we didn't execute the things that we needed to execute. And it was, most of it was just simple ball. It wasn't nothing crazy.
Okay. It's just that you're asked the question where the easy answer, like, he could have gotten to the end at the beginning, but he didn't.
Yeah, right away he would just say, well, even if, he didn't say
right.
that, but that's what I inferred, Lawrence, right? You, like, heard the, like, same thing? Okay.
You can say what you said at the end, at the beginning, no matter what is called. You know, our job, we got beat up physically. He's like, well, you know, it's
there was okay. Let's face it, like, everything's fair play here, but boy, the run defense just was terrible.
The run defense was a struggle bus for sure, and James Conner was out here looking to punish tacklers.
And that's what he does. But, like, the kid Benson and DeMarcado and anybody else with the ball should not also have an opportunity to look that good. Terrible day for the linebackers, I thought, yesterday.
Yeah, and they have fun getting McBride into the end zone, the tight end. So
yep. And that was against Byard.
Yes, it was. So I think part of that comes from a real place with Byard is he knows that everybody just kind of sucked. One more from Byard, and this is the old outside noise, people going crazy because everybody thought, like, I think everybody here, we all thought the Bears were going to be good. Here's Byard.
No, I mean, I think expectations are is meaningless. You know what I mean? Expectations outside the building and the expectations we have for ourselves means nothing. It's all about action. And as of right now, we're a .500 team. You know, And that's just where we are. You know what I mean? So it doesn't matter about what we expect. It's about we go out there, improve and execute on game day, what we do every single day in practice, in the meetings, in the weight room and all the things that we do. We are going to set an expectation. We are going to set a standard, but it's about living up to that every single day. And like you said, you can set as many standards and expectations as you want to, but it has to be shown through action.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are the. I mean, and those are the standards that are set by the coaching staff. And at this point, it all feels like lip service, whether it's coming from the players, whether it's coming from the coaches, from whomever. Nothing sounds right to the Bears right now because they're not winning and they're losing in really just horrible fashion.
What else do we need to know?
Yeah, we've got, and if you guys got a roll, I got three from Roma Dunze here, but I'll try to get through these as quickly as possible. He started like.
That's a good game for that young man yesterday.
No, it really was, Spiegs. And like I said, it's a tough spot because, look, we're going to ask him questions about his day and all of that, but right now it's about bigger picture stuff, and he's just probably just as mature as anybody in that locker room. But here's Roma Dunze. On the slow starts and the idea, I don't have my voice on this question, I don't think, but it was, I asked him about, like, it feels like there's this settling in process that has been damaging you guys. Here's Roma Dunze.
I mean, it definitely feels like at this point, you know, as our offense execution is sort of a settling in, which, you know, at the end of the day, we need to get rid of, you know, we need to be ready to play and ready to score points from drive run from play one. And I think we've gotten ourselves into some negative play scenarios in those instances and had flashes of, you know, great success on the first drive, too. So we need to sustain that all the way into the end zone. So, you know, we can start fast and set the tempo for the game.
Yeah, man. And the penalties, the sloppiness of the penalties is just so ugly and so embarrassing, frankly, to see the pre-snap penalties right now third most in the NFL and most of any team that has played just eight games as the Bears have.
Right. It was an illegal formation by Larry Borum that really stunted the first drive, which we were just talking about with Roma Dunze.
You have a leverage penalty, too, that ends up extending a drive and it being a 4-point penalty.
Yep. That made it 14-6 Arizona after Javon Dexter put his hand on the defender's back. That was an interesting one, unsportsmanlike conduct, leverage. So, yeah, that was a painful moment in the game as well. And heavily, because for a lot of this game, the Bears were a touchdown away from being back in the game, even though it never felt like they were in the game. Here now is Roma Dunze on his offensive coordinator, Shane Waldron.
I think Shane's doing a great job. You know, I think he is, you know, consistently, you know, working his tail off to put us in the right positions. And it's a tough position, you know, to be in as an offensive coordinator. There's, you know, a lot of different aspects you have to think about. But I know through his work ethic, he's doing his best to put us in the best situations and best circumstances to have success. So, you know, I have full confidence in Shane and what he's able to do. We just all need to come together and buy into that plan and buy into that belief in one another from coaches, players, coaches to have that success.
Damn, the young guys, man. The young guys want to – I know they're feeling like they should stick by the coach, and I get it. And that's adorable from Rome. And right there when he says, we all got to come together. We all got to come together. Is he talking to Caden, DJ? It's like this is – you start sniffing around and things start feeling like rifts, whether they are or not, when the ship starts to sink like this.
Yeah, well, let's put it – I mean, Roma Dunze, he is just as nice as he sounds. And it's awesome to hear from him. So he's a super nice guy. And, guys, he knows he has no say whatsoever
in
that locker room
anything.
Huh? He's right by Keenan Allen and DJ Moore. This guy doesn't have a chance. Stay in your lane. We know how DJ Moore feels about, like, when we talked about Caleb Williams, like, let's not get too carried away. Imagine how they're dealing with Roma Dunze, and not in a bad way, but in a very rookie way. We'll take care of the talking. You go say nice things. And I think that's what Roma's doing. One more from Roma Dunze. And the hey, welcome to Chicago. Are you starting to get it? Like, the big market, Chicago, and how much noise there is and how much people care about this Bears team. And how are you taking this all in, Roma Dunze?
I'm not worried about anything that anybody outside of this building has to say, honestly. You know, I love the fans and I love the support of them. But when it comes to their criticisms and they're calling of people to get fired, I don't pay too many attention to that at all. I believe in anybody, everybody in this building to get this job done, you know, week in and week out. So we just need to come together and tighten up the screws a little bit and be able to execute those things come on Sunday. So those are things I don't pay attention to.
Do you know it exists?
I don't got Twitter or nothing. I don't really go on social media to go look at, you know, people criticizing the organization. So I don't hear it, but, you know, there's always sources like yourself letting me know that those things are going on. So, of course, I'm not naive to those things going on, but I hear it, but I don't hear it, if you know what I mean. It's things that I pay no mind to and have no sort of priority in my train of thought.
Breath of fresh air, Mark Grody.
Uh-huh. I'm glad we got to those.
He's bringing me a smile there. But he's so happy. He's so happy to be in the NFL.
I think Shane's doing a great job.
No.
Wait a minute.
Disagree.
Strong disagree. How about Chris, the offensive line coach? How's he doing?
I've said this about since the day Rome Odunze was drafted, just because we all found out how personable and what kind of a cool guy he is. What's this guy going to be like in the NFL, whether he's with the Bears or somewhere else, 5-6 years from now, assuming he is good, which there are definitely some clues to suggest he probably will be good. What's this guy going to be like? Like, he just sounds like he already is, like, awesome in the way he speaks and the things that he says, and seems to have the perspective of a 35-year-old in the NFL. It's going to be interesting to follow this guy's career.
He's going to be a successful, happy person, no matter what he does.
That's like, true, too.
He just has that vibe, and I needed it. Thank you.
Yes, Spiegs, I know you needed it, man. I appreciate your angst, though, Matt. You're doing it right, buddy.
You know,
even if he's lying to you, you find it refreshing.
Well, you know what, Lawrence? You know, like, this town, nothing unites this town like the Bears. We know
it's
this.
True.
And when it's good, it unites the town really good. And when it's bad, then everybody hates everything, and they hate each other, and people take shots at each other. And it's like, what happened to kindness? What happened to love? It's gone. It's nowhere out here in these streets.
We all care too much. It hurts the Bears. And then we react. And then sometimes we regret. But it's really all about the Bears. This is what we do.
We follow Bears.
Love, report on, hug Bears. That's what we do. That's what we do around here. That's what it is.
Organization.
I've got
and that further lets me know that outside influences have reached Rome Odunze.
Well, I just think he understands his place.
I really mean, like the saying of organization.
Oh, yeah, right.
Well,
right.
Is he Canadian or is from near there?
From Las Vegas, isn't he?
Yeah, I don't think he's Canadian. Maybe we could say that. I don't think he'd mind.
University like nice of Washington. Maybe he heard it when he was up there at Washington.
Are you Canadian? No, I'm not Canadian, but a lot of people think I am.
He is indeed from Las Vegas.
That's not Canada.
They got hockey there.
Hey, Canadians are really nice people, so I could see why you would connect the dots to Rome Odunze in Canada. Nice
connect
guy.
Connect the dots. La 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 la.
Got a hour Bears special tonight, a Take Bears. The North live Bears special from 6 to 7 with my Take the North partner,
Wiederer.
Dan Wiederer. I do hope you guys have the time to listen, because I got more Bears to discuss. Bears. Bears.
That's very cool. Bears. Enjoy Bears. It, Groats. We'll be listening.
All right, bye, guys. Bears.
Weeds.
Weeds.
Lawrence, you were in Arizona.
I'm still in Arizona.
Oh, yeah, good point. But you were at the game. And we need to hear stuff, and we'll have time all week long to get tidbits and like atmosphere stuff and like little secrets that you don't want to share that we can try and drag out of you as you were there covering it as media. But like, paint us a picture and take us anywhere you want from the post game on site. Can you do that for us?
Sure. I'd love to. Let's talk about my experience in the desert yesterday. And I had to deal with facial recognition. Yesterday. It wasn't that bad. I'll explain next.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Score.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.